You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
We have a new member class that's going on right now. This was our second week of it. And we did talk a little bit this week, just slightly, about some evangelism or witnessing possibilities. And one thing that we said was, it takes several touches of the gospel for someone to come to Jesus. Have you guys ever heard that before? It takes several times for someone to hear the gospel before they accept Jesus. Y'all with me? Any guesses how many times on average? Hey, and if you're in the class, you can't answer that. You can't answer it, Tracy. How many times is that? Seven? I've heard 42. I've heard 72 somewhere, but the one I'm going to go with is 42 because it sounds more dramatic. But man, you know, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of work, not just for one person. That's a lot of work for several people. And I explained to our church, to our class this morning, that I just want to see the other person and discover where the Spirit has been working in them. A lot of times, I kind of take it upon myself to be the guy to go to them and tell them. But when I run across people, I want to decipher, has the Spirit been working on this person? I want to keep the Spirit, God, first in that relationship. And pretty soon you see, you did talk to someone last week or last month or last year. You have been thinking about spiritual things. So I want to always follow the Spirit's guidance in that. I want to talk today in Matthew chapter 26. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 26. This is a message that I got in the last day or two. So Tim and Tammy are very, such good people to get my messages ready to go and all that. And then I pulled the rug out from underneath them on Friday and said, we're going to do something different. And actually, the thing that's in front of you, my wife and I worked out this morning at about 5 or 6 o'clock. So, if you like the sermon, my wife helped me. If you don't like the sermon, it's Becca's idea. How's that for throwing my lovely bride under the bus? Yeah. This time today is very critical for our church. I'm a little nervous. Maybe even timid. I'm really trusting God with what He wants us as a church body to hear today. I'm being obedient to His Word, to what I think that He needs me to tell you guys and share with you. And so I'm praying that this goes well for you. I'm approaching this not as a pastor to His people, but more as a family. I feel like a family member today. And this is one of those days that I want to come together since it's family service day or family day at the church. We need to have a town hall meeting with the family. I've been here a couple of months, and some good things are happening, really good things, that's good. There are still some needed things that have to happen in the church before we move on. My main duty here is to serve as your interim pastor and to help you go through a vision clinic process to find new vision, new direction, and thus a new pastor. We're kind of stuck right now on that path. And I wanted to talk to you just as a friend probably not as your pastor this morning, but as a fellow believer, as a part of the church. And so this will be very important. I'm tying it into our Lord's Supper today. So follow along with me. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 to 27. It's up there on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. As they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it into pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take this and eat it, for this is my body." And he took the cup of wine, gave thanks to God for it. He gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from this. This is now my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many. Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." You guys have heard this before, right? The thing I really like about this, that last verse, verse 27, he says, "Mark my words, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." The Lord's Supper, we symbolize, we remember, we honor, we bring glory to God, especially to Jesus for what he has done for us, paying the price on the cross, the bloodshed, the body that was broken into pieces. We do this every time that we partake of the Lord's Supper, but we do it together. And I always love that fact that he says, "Mark my words, I'm not going to do this again until we're all together in heaven," is what he said. The Lord's Supper brings us together. We're going to look now, if you'll have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 11. When Paul talked about the supper, the Lord's Supper in the church at Corinth, his main beef with the church was that they were starting to do it separately. Oh, this group over here would eat first, and then this group would eat last, and they wouldn't really have a time of togetherness, of connection as a church body. The Lord's Supper, even though we take it individually, it is to be done together as a team, as a church, as a group. Y'all with me? It's very important today that as we go throughout the exercises that we think together as a team, as a group, as God's church here. When Jesus gave thanks, by the way, when he said, I break my body, I break the bread, and he gave thanks, and then he took the cup and gave thanks, Jesus uses a couple of words that end up meaning thanksgiving with joy. Joy with thanksgiving. Joyful thanksgiving. He uses those terms. We are to take the table with the spirit of joyous thanksgiving. I pray that you have that this morning. It's not just an exercise that we do. And again, I talk a lot about the head and the heart and the hands. This isn't just to be done with our hands. It's to be done out of the heart. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26 to 28. Verse 26 to 28. "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup." A couple things about this. If you notice, he broke the bread. Did you guys see that? He broke the bread. He didn't take a loaf and pass it around. He actually broke the bread up into pieces. And then what did he do? Come on, you guys. You're sharp. He gave it. He broke the bread and then he gave it to the disciples. In the same way, as we come to the Lord's table, we're to do the same thing. We are to be broken. We are to take this body of ours, this spirit of ours, this will of ours, and say, "Yes, Lord, we'll break it for you. We can trust you. We're under your direction. We want to follow you." So we need to be broken, and then we need to give that service. I was thinking about that this morning, and going back to Nehemiah, if you guys remember this, don't turn there, but I want to read the verses for you. From Nehemiah chapter 1, We talked about this a couple of weeks ago when Nehemiah found out that Jerusalem was in ruins. His first response, guys, was not to do something about the problem. His first desire was to get right with God. As you come to the table, you'll be tempted just to take it, just like everyone else is taking it, with your hands. God doesn't want that. He wants you to examine yourself. The reason we go through this ritual is for you to get tight, for you to draw closer to God. So in your heart, draw closer to God. Again, listen to Nehemiah's words. O Lord God of heaven, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant that I pray now before you day and night for the people of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the people of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Even I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, the rules that you commanded your servant Moses. And then he challenges, it's kind of funny, he challenges God to keep his word. He says, remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though you're outcasts in the farthest ends of the heaven, from there I will gather you together and bring them to the place that I have chosen to make my name dwell there. You know what that says to me? When I come to the table, I want my heart right with God. And I love Nehemiah saying, Lord, you promise that if I get right with you, you'll dwell with me there. You'll forgive my sins. You'll be my God. I will be your servant. So as you come to the table, I want you to reflect on that. Remember the things that you have in your life that we need to clean up today. One final verse I want to share with you from Hosea chapter 14. Remember, O Israel, the Lord your God, for your sins have brought you down. The sins have brought you down. Bring your confessions and return to the Lord. Say to him, forgive all our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. Let me repeat that. Say to him, forgive all of our sins and graciously receive us so that we may offer you our praises. You guys ever read those verses backwards? Backwards, that says, we want to give you praises. In order to do so, would you forgive us our sins? That's what he says. If we have sin in our life, if we have things that put distance between God and ourselves, how can we come to God and offer praises? And that's the same at the table. Today, as we worship God through the Lord's Supper, I want us to remember those things that separate us from God. Many of you know that we leave today at 12:01 to take Brock to St. Jude. He's got his cancer checkups, you know, this week. And so we'll be heading straight out. Becca showed me something today. Listen to this. I've never thought of this. In a sick body, this is a doctor talking to a patient. In a sick body, the cells that benefit only themselves are known as cancer. You ever think of that? In a sick body, the cells that benefit only themselves are called cancer. The other cells work with health, with getting us back running correctly. Cancer is what refuses to die in the body. Cancer is what refuses to die in our body. Don't be cancer cells in the church. Go ahead and confess your sin. Have God cleanse you. Before you come and partake of the Lord's Supper, ask God to cleanse you. And those things that you hold on to, that you have to have for yourself, those things that are selfish, God is saying, get rid of. That's a cancer in the body that we can't have. Amen? You guys know I love you, don't you? It's a hard message to preach. Because I've got that. We all have that. There are things right now as I'm speaking to you that God's saying, do you remember your attitude toward that person yesterday?
Yep.
Sure do. Remember how you were prideful and arrogant?
Yep.
Sure do. Remember how you had those bad things?
Yep.
Sure do. So I want us to take a few minutes, just in quiet meditation. I'm going to give you about 30 or 40 seconds. And just confess everything that's in your heart to God. Ask Him to cleanse you, to remove that blot of sin from your life, and to make your life one with Him. Remember, we've talked about prayer. It's not just about asking for stuff. It's about getting a right relationship and alignment with Him. So pray that this morning. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to come before you. As your church, we want to participate in celebration of your supper, that last supper you had here on earth. So, Lord, we confess our sins to you at this time and ask that you remove that from us. In our repentance, you wash us clean and you renew our walk with you. Father, thank you for being so trustworthy, so loving, so kind, merciful, generous, gracious. It doesn't matter what we've done before or what we do after. You love us so much that you'll forgive anything that we've done. I mean anything that we've done. Father, thank you for creating in us a right heart, that good relationship that we have with God. Thank you, Lord. Bless us now as we honor you and glorify you in the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name, amen. Will the men come forward to host the Lord's Supper, please? It was after the supper that Jesus took the juice, the wine, and he said, "This represents the blood that I'm about to shed for you. It is through the shedding of the blood that the sins are covered. It's his sacrifice for us." The Apostle Paul said that as often as you partake, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Again, Father, thank you so much for the blood that you shed for us, the redemption that we have from our sins, the salvation we have from our sins. Thank you, Lord. I'm always touched when I consider the body that Jesus was willing to break for me, for you. Take that piece of bread, feel it. Feel those rough edges, those broken pieces. Being broken is difficult. Being broken is hard. And yet Jesus said, "I love you so much, I'm willing to break my body for you. I'm willing to cover your sins with my blood." The Apostle Paul said that as often as you partake, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Again, Lord, thank you. Your sacrifice, your love for us, it's just immeasurable. Why you would love us is beyond measure. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing for us, with us, to us. Thanks for loving and accepting us. And thank you for your church. We love you, and we know that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, let's move into a little town hall meeting. You guys ready to go?
Yes.
One of the deacons, I've got some paperwork on the outside on that little table, little half sheets of paper. Make sure everyone gets one. Get your little pens out. If you have a crayon, get the crayon out. It's not going to be long. Give me about... Every time I say something about time, Bob Bedell laughs at me for some reason. Give me about 10 minutes, which means how much time, Bob? 20? Give me 10 minutes then. Let me share with you what we're doing during the Vision Clinic. The last week or two, I've been talking about burden in the church. Remember that? Please say you remember the sermons I preached. Someone said alignment. Who said that? Tracy, you're so good. Tracy's another brand new member. Huh? Tracy did forget to bring her new member book, though, today. All right. Here's what's going on in the Vision Clinic. We have asked the people in the Vision Clinic about their burdens. What is God knocking you down and keeping you up about? What are the things that you see around us in your life personally, then around us as a church, that are burdens to you? Now, we've talked about this before. What a burden means is something that God is touching your heart about, something that you can't let go of, something that irritates you, something that you know you have to make right. Everyone with me? This is what I need you to do. There's some pens in front of you. So grab a pen. Don't put your name on this because you're handing it in. These are all numbered. We know how many have gone out. We know how many we need to receive back. Don't fill it out as a couple. Every individual, I want to fill one of these out. And don't go ahead of schedule. So fill these out in order. I'm going to give you a little bit of time on each one. This is what I need you to do. After I read the statement, read the verse, I'm going to ask a question. You're going to have 30 seconds to answer the question. Do you know how much time that is? A minute. Good job. That means you cannot think of a question that would sound right. You have to put down what God's leading you to put down. Does that make sense? That's why I'm not going to give you 5 minutes. I want the first thing down. We're going to use this in the Vision Clinic to see if we're on target with where God is leading us. Does that make sense? So just raw honesty. Just put down what you guys are thinking. My purpose in life is to walk with God each and every day. We talked about that. The reason Adam was created was to walk with God, right? So you as an individual believer, as a Christian, your job, your purpose, your mission in life is to walk with God. In what ways, here you go, in what ways has God burdened your heart, my heart, in my personal relationship with Him? In what ways has God burdened my heart in my personal relationship with Him? You got 30 seconds. All these minds are thinking and all that. All right, good job. Your purpose as a Christian is to walk with God. You honor Him, you glorify Him, you do all the other things out of your personal walk with God. If that's not running, especially tomorrow, Monday through Saturday, you need to get that started. Second thing, look down here. The mission of Sabino Road Baptist Church is to make disciples. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the last thing Jesus said on this earth was to the disciples. And he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Help them learn of me, believe in me, obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. The mission, the purpose of every church is to make disciples. That's the mission of every church. The vision of these churches is different. The vision of Sabino Road is going to be different than the vision of First Southern Baptist or Casas Adobes or whatever else. Because the vision is, how do we fulfill that mission here where we are, based on who we are in the community and so forth. Y'all got that? So here's the question. In what ways has God burdened my heart in the role of making disciples? In what ways has God burdened my heart in the role of making disciples? You've got 30 seconds. Maybe 45. 1 minute for sure, Thomas. You didn't go ahead and do it early, did you?
Did you really?
Okay, good job. Yeah, show your papers. No cheating, Bob Bedell. You can't look at this paper. I'm watching you like a hawk, buddy. All right, good job. All right, let's go to question number three. The calling of God's kingdom. Now, this is the church at large, not a local church, is to spread the gospel. Each and every one of us is part of God's kingdom, God's church around the world. We are to witness to others, every single one of us. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to completely finish his work. Do you not say it is still 4 months until the harvest comes? Look, I say to you, raise your eyes, look to the fields and see that they are white for the harvest. That's what we do out there. In what ways has God burdened my heart in reaching others with the gospel? In what ways has God burdened my heart in reaching others with the gospel? You got 30 seconds. All right, if I can have a couple of ushers, pass those papers. I feel like a teacher all of a sudden. Pass those papers to the middle. These are anonymous, even though we know what your handwriting looks like. And we can. Yeah, pass them on in. You know, we started off this morning with a time of testimony. I want to end it with a time of testimony. Yeah, it's almost over. It's getting close. We'll be done in 2 minutes, maybe. What is God talking to you about right now? What is he sharing with you? Anyone? Who said that? Yes, sir. More into the Word. More into the Word. What else? Glorify? Yeah. Kind of takes the look off of yourself and onto Him, huh? Anything else? Say it again. Yes. Trust in Him more. Yes. Yeah. Good job. Time is short. Redeem the day. Yes, ma'am. Focus on Jesus. Amen. Wow. You know what that's called? That's called maturity right there. Boy, the expectations of others will get you every time. It's what Jesus, what God wants. Yes, ma'am.
It's easy to do things for others and show your first year. I did not show.
Yes, yes. It is easy to do things with your hands that make you look good, that make you look like a Christian. Boy, God's not into that. He's into the motivation. Jesus changed everything when he looked at the Pharisees and said, "You do well because you keep the law. You haven't murdered anyone. You haven't committed adultery with your hands. But I bring something new to you. If in your heart you look on a woman, if in your heart you have evil thoughts toward your brother, you've committed murder, you've committed adultery in your heart." That was the most important thing. Oh, it turned on edge. Make sure your motivations are right. Good job. Anyone else? About someone out here? Biddy says, the harvest is ready. We just have to go. That's one of your new members, by the way, right there. Yes, sir, in the back.
Perseverance and spiritual disciplines, or like those three headers on that piece of paper, to be constantly striving to make those a main part of life.
Yeah.
Being in the Word, praying, spending time being quiet before the Lord, scheduling those things, and being intentional in your life to do
those. Wow. It's not intentional. It just doesn't happen, does it? Anything else? One last word. Yes, sir. Say that again. He doesn't sleep. Yeah. Wow. All right. Whew. Good job, you guys. We did a lot of stuff as a family today, didn't we? Let's say we had the Lord's Supper. We had a time of repentance. Those questions, by the way, if you key into this, they're in three main areas. In, out, and up. Did you notice that? My relationship with him, my relationship to the others, my relationship outside the church. So start focusing on those things. All right, you ready to go? Everyone up and grab a hand. Grab a hand. I'll have your papers graded in 2 weeks and back to you. I need somewhere. Can I go between you two? Thank you. Oh, man, love you guys. Next week, we will be at St. Jude Hospital with Brocker. Raise your hand, Brocker. Pray for Brock. Yay. Be in prayer for him. Roger Daniels will be preaching. And give him a chance. He's not as pretty as I am, but he's okay. Make sure someone tells him that I said that. Love you guys. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the one who calls you is faithful, and He will do. Amen. Have a good week, y'all.